Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is an Uncensored Radio Rewind.
Oh yeah.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
U-C-R.
One?
U-C-R.
Go.
We say it what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. Let's just go everywhere, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, Uncensored Radio.
Welcome to Unscripted Radio. I'm Mike J. This is another fantastic, fun-filled hour because I'm joined, of course, as always, by the lovely, charming, talented, no cellulite city, beautiful, silky thighs, Karen Ashley.
And then, of course,
Jeffrey. He's always fresh and funny, and God knows what foulness will spew out of his mouth. He's here.
I can't wait.
I love that she gets this amazing intro talking about her sexy, silky, smooth fucking thighs, and he's talking about what foul shit's going to come out my motherfucking mouth.
Because that reaction is what he wanted.
Yes. Well, Mike, hey, here's one for you. I got two words for you.
What?
Bless you.
Aww. He did what Jesus would do. Oh, Jeffrey. You've grown
WWJD. Meanwhile, I'm outside letting the air out of his tires.
Yay. Yay. Now, that's not what Jesus would do, but okay.
But that's what Judas would.
Right. We'll take whatever we can get.
This is one of the apostles and shit.
Oh,
my sister's
going
to cut you. You tear out her tires on her new car she just got.
Uh-oh. That's her problem now.
That's right. Amen.
Man, yeah, crazy. I love
I feel like
that. I will say this though, Jeffrey. I am usually riveted every time we get on the show because I can't wait for the Jeffrey. You know, I can't wait for the Jeffrey rant.
The Jeffrey
episode,
rant of the day.
Yeah, you're gonna go off on something, and I love it. I think that's what the people love. They love the fact that at some point Jeffrey's going off. We're all waiting, anxiously waiting.
If it's not fat cat suits, it's asshole fucking listeners from the chat room. It's always somebody.
You gotta bring that up again, don't you? Y'all always, you like
just call me Rosie. You remember Rosie when she was leaving the View and she'd go on and do her video blogs and there was that clip of Barbara Walters going, "Ladies, move on," or whatever. And Rosie put that Eminem song, "Two Trailers." Our girls go around the outside playing, and then she goes, "Boy, I don't know what that Debbie Menonopoulos did, but she is pissed."
Right, because she just got fired. Like, that's like, she still ain't recovered from that.
You know, and that's, I've realized, like, I've decided I'm going to be the fighter of the group because somebody's going to say something fucking wrong to one of us. And I'm just going to be the one that's got to go rush to everybody's defense. And I'm probably going to be the one to get arrested because I punched somebody in the face. Like, I can't do it. Like, nobody's going to fucking sit there and say some foul shit to any of you. And I'm not going to let it get away with. It's not going to happen. I'm going to knock them the fuck out.
I think we've all kind of agreed that, I mean, we all have, you know, our parts and our places on this program. And Jeff, you're the mama. You're the mama.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
You take care of your babies over here. I like
you
that,
know,
though.
I mean,
I think that's the way it should be. Because I know if someone says something, I think you'd be surprised, but I'm going to say something, too. Like, I ain't going to have anybody talking about anybody in my camp. Sorry.
No, I don't play that shit. Like, I just don't do it. You don't do it.
Yeah.
You don't fuck with my friends because...
We're always, you know, we're always having fun. So it's a fun show, so don't bring us down, you know?
Yeah.
You can't bring me down today.
Exactly. You got to leave the negativity at home. If you listen on Scripted Radio, we're here to laugh. We're here to joke. We're here to talk dirty. That's it.
Ooh, talk dirty to me. What are you wearing?
Scripted Radio, the guiltiest pleasure.
Oh, my God. I kind of got a little wood. I'm not going to lie. Oh, dear.
I got Jeffrey Wood.
It's so weird. It's so wrong, but just so fun at the same time. I'm not really sure what to do with myself. Down, down, down.
Yeah. So, are you talking? I hope you're talking to Izzy.
No. I'm talking. I don't know what. My focus is the donkey. I've got to come up with some crazy
name.
You're
the Woody Woodpecker.
The Woody Woodpecker? That doesn't flow like the donkey, but I definitely do not have a donkey.
What do you have, like a little...
A cannoli. I've got a cannoli. It's even cream-filled. Trust me.
I've been to New York. Those cannolis get pretty big, Jeffrey.
It's like somebody said the other word I hate. Like, I just got so, like, creeped out from this conversation about talking about my junk. Yuck.
Mike, have you ever seen Jeffrey's donk?
I have not.
Oh, how
I have never.
Because you post pictures of yours, right? That's how
I'm
we've all seen it.
Look, my junk is so spread all over the internet, which is definitely coming down, because I know I said on a show a couple times ago that I was gonna pull all of my dating profiles, my online hookup profiles, you know, to show you guys that I'm not a complete hoe.
whatever.
I don't know, I may have to leave a couple of them still up there, just because, I mean, what would the folks do? I mean, I swear, they love to look at that sort of thing.
That's funny.
Well, I think it's going to be a great scandal.
Michael is that Michael has all of that stuff up there, and people think we're joking, but Michael really has pictures of his dog on the internet.
Really up there. I mean, shoot, if you want to email me, I will send you a picture of my work of art.
No, you can't send them a picture, but they can go look on fucking Adam
now,
for Adam.
Michael.
I can't send a picture. I can't send a picture because then it would imply that the radio show was sending out something illegal.
Right.
But if you happen to find my personal profile page, which is not affiliated with Unscripted Radio,
Blonde Aries 83.
There you go. You know,
wow.
Check the box. I'm from U18, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, though, Karen, I'm not going to lie. If I had a dick the size of Michael's, I would be having that thing. I'd let it flop out all the time. Like, when I was working at the bar, I would just walk around with my junk out all the time. Like, I mean, that's something to be proud of. Like, I could set up dollar shots on my
on your schlong?
On my...
Well, I'm just here for the nicknames. That's all I'm here for today.
I love it. Like, he seriously could probably set up, like, 7 or 8 shots on his junk. I mean, it'd be a great way to sell them. I'm telling you, we'd make a killing.
He's got some junk in the trunk. In the
like,
glove
I'm
compartment.
I'm telling you, I would be
He's
proud.
Got junk
like,
in
people,
the glove compartment.
I would shake people with my dick, to be honest. Like, I would just walk up and be like, wait till you see my dick. It'd be
right.
Bad.
Well, you know what's kind of funny, like, going along with this, is I'm actually wearing my Lucky Brand shorts today, and when it's funny, it fits, because when you unzipper the fly, white embroidered on the little flaps underneath, it says, Lucky You.
Wow.
Lucky you, you're not about to sit down for a week. I mean, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. That is the gift that keeps on giving.
That's true. You mean, you can ride it, and then 30 minutes later, you can ride it again if you like.
We've got to get this man a boyfriend. I think that's why most of the times we talk about sex, because Michael's sexual frustration.
I have been doing a lot of ice lately. I find myself just going home, and I don't even need the water anymore. I just get out the ice cube tray, and I'm chomping on it for like hours. You know what it is. One of us on this show has to be promiscuous. Like, I think it's up to me.
Well, we've got
Katrina,
and we've got you.
Yeah.
So
I think Katrina's got that covered, dude.
Right. We can't have two of you.
No, I think, Karen, we kind of can. We've got a boy and a girl whore. It's fine.
Absolutely. Katrina would slap you if she knew you're
allegedly, I'm kidding. It's only if you're wearing spandex. I'm just saying.
I
didn't say that either.
Spandex, she's a whore. She is going to turn into the freakiest freaky mama. But if you're not wearing spandex, she's pretty normal. She's tame.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Except when she bites people. That's freaky.
I think they asked for it. So does it count?
Uh-huh. She said she was
going
to bite my ass cheek when she sees me for the wedding. I was kind of traumatized.
I'm not down with that. Like, you guys know I've dated some freaks, and we've talked about the golden shower and all of that. And, you know, we've talked about how Jeff likes to suck on toe jam. But, it's funny because I was a couple weeks ago, you know, we were talking, and I had to get my feet ready to be, you know, brought out into the flip-flop season. And I'm like, well, Jeff, mm-hmm. I got my nails all done and done up. I got all the hair shaved off my feet. They're a little pale, but I think they're going to be okay. But, you know, the only thing I worry about is when I get in the pool that, you know, there might be some toe jam biscuits that is floating in the pool.
I fucking hate you. I really fucking do right now. Like, I can't even describe to you how fucking sick this conversation makes me. Like, I just can't even hack it.
We love it because we finally found your hot button.
It is.
It's not a hot button. It's disgusting.
Yeah. That is hilarious.
Nasty. Wash your fucking toes, you nasty skanks.
I have a foot brush that I use when I'm in the shower, and, you know, I scrub all the dead skin and the toe jams and the corns off my feet.
Oh, my God.
That's beautiful.
I don't have corns on my feet. I mean, they're pale and white, but that's the only thing that's wrong with them. And they're a little messy.
We heard they were pale and white. We heard you never take them out. You never wear sandals.
Uh-huh.
Why is this? You're the only gay man I know that doesn't wear sandals.
Well, you know what it is? For some reason, and I think it comes from when I was a young kid, like, I do not like bugs, and I'm scared to death of bees. So, as a kid, I would wear, like, long-sleeve shirts, and I would wear pants, and I would wear shoes all the time, because for whatever reason, I don't know, like, I don't like walking through the grass and flip-flops because I'm always worried I'm going to step on, like, one of those pricker bushes, or I'm going to get, like, stung on the foot because I actually did get stung, like, right in the middle of my foot when I was a kid.
I had that, too. That's awesome.
You know, so I think I still, but, like, in the past, like, 5 years or so, I've gotten, like, I will wear flip-flops when we go to, like, the beach or if we're at the pool. I'll do it, you know.
Okay.
But part of it is, too, I don't know, I'm so worried if I'm in public walking through the mall that, like, someone's going to step on my foot. Break a toe. I have that fear.
You have strange fears, Michael.
Well, look, Jeff is afraid of flying. I'm afraid of someone breaking my foot. All
Jeff
right?
is afraid of flying and afraid of toe jam. You are afraid of your toe
jam. And look, there's a reason why I will not let a man stuck on my toes. It's because I'm afraid he's going to be a little freaky and try to bite one off. All right?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like that. I never liked the toe person. Ugh. Like, I don't care if you touch my feet. I don't want no mouth on my feet. Like, that's just nasty. I don't know.
It's
I think toes
out.
Are
like,
good.
I'm
think toes are gross
in
the beginning, and it's like you can make them look better, but they're just disgusting anyway.
Well, have you ever had a guy, like, I dated someone once, I tell you, I date freaks, and he knew a lot about, I guess, all the nerves in the bottom of your feet connect to various parts of your body. And he knew where they all were. Well, he was massaging my foot, I guess, towards the middle, like, towards the front where your toes are. If you keep massaging that specific spot, like, you go up and down with your thumb a little bit, it'll actually make pass. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I don't
sit there, and the dude's massaging my foot, and I'm just, like, farting away. I'm like, what the fuck? It's so embarrassing. Like, he was doing it.
Are you
serious? Yeah.
He was doing, like, reflexology on you, and you were, like, passing gas. How hilarious.
Yeah. And I didn't realize it. I'm like, what the fuck? Why? Because I'm all embarrassed. You know, I'm like, why the hell do I keep farting? And he just kept busting out. Started busting out laughing. He's like, I'm making you fart. I'm like, why would you do that? That is so gross. He's like, well, like being having control over someone by only touching their foot. I'm like, all right, you need to go.
Okay, that's fucked up. That has nothing to do with him, like, being controlled. He likes to sniff your farts. I'm telling you, he's one of them.
That's disgusting.
Because that's fucked up. Why would you make somebody fart? That's not being
somebody
in control of them.
Yeah, someone who passes gas is just as disgusting as toe jam to me. Like, that makes me just grossed out.
When somebody drops a bomb?
Passes gas. Yeah, and I mean, I understand every now and then it's an accident, but, like, there are people who just fart all the time. That's disgusting.
Oh,
like,
well, you're going to fucking love staying here.
Oh, no! Who does it?
Oh, no. It's Joe. He's a silent bomber. All of a sudden, it's like the fucking air comes out of your lungs and you can't breathe.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh, no.
The fucking paint has peeled off the wall because of him. It's that bad. I mean, his father, he pulled the car over and made Joe get out one day. He was so pissed off. Like, they got into, a screaming match over it. He's like, I fucking had to fart. What's the big deal? His father's like, you almost killed me.
Well, what's funny is, like, why doesn't Joe roll the window down if he knows it's coming and he knows
it's
going
to
be
bad? Well, because he thinks it's funny. Like, I'm not going to let him lie to me or fucking try to kid anybody. Like, he's a dude, and he thinks it's funny. Because he'll do it all the time. We're in the car, and I'm like, bitch, you just sat down. Why couldn't you have done that outside? But then he's like, yeah, there's been days I've screamed at him. Because, in the dead winter, it's like fucking 10 below. And I'll roll the window down on him, and I'll press the child lock so he can't roll it back up. And I'm like, fucking freeze your ass off. You're a son of a bitch.
Wow.
And we watch Karen. By the time they get married in July, and then we go to L.A. in August for the reality show, they're going to be in couples therapy already.
That's hilarious. But what's funny is that they already, like, you guys seem like you've been married for 10 years already. Like, some of the things you tell me, it's the most hilarious thing.
Well, that's just it. Like, we bicker like an old married couple. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not that fucking lovey-gushy couple. Like, we're always constantly fucking bickering about some shit. Like, it never fails. We go out to his mother's and we'll be like, bah, 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 bah. But, like, you know, whatever. It's fun. It's a good time.
Right.
But, like, I mean, yeah, everybody's like, oh, like, after you're married. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't know. Like, everybody's like, oh, man. And I'm like, okay, like, we're doing it because we can now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we've been together for 5 years. Like, I'm cool. But I'm like, I'm not going to get married and feel different the next day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's probably going to take me. I still call him my boyfriend. I don't even say fiance.
Right.
Pretty soon you're going to have to call him your husband. That's what you're going to do.
Which, that just fucking kind of skeeves me out. I probably won't do that because I'll never remember. Well, I always hated, like, gay guys years ago. I mean, we're talking when I was, like, you know, younger. And you couldn't get married. They'd be like, my husband. I'm like, bitch, you can't have a husband.
No, like, I don't know. This is actually a good question. And the relationships that I've been in, I don't know. I never referred to any of the guys that I've ever dated as my boyfriend. I've always just introduced them as, oh, this is Jason or this is Matt. You know, I've never actually been like, oh, this is my boyfriend, Matt. We're fags. You know, like, you know,
can you do that one more time?
I don't know that any gay person does that.
No. Well, you know, it's weird.
My boyfriend, Matt, and we don't, we're fags. You know, like, I don't know. It's just, and if, because the guy that I dated, Jason, he would introduce me as his boyfriend. And I'm like, I ain't your nothing. I don't know if it's like the Aries in me where I'm not nobody's property. It just ain't going to happen, but. Like, how do you, like, Jeffrey, you're going to get married soon. Is Joe going to start to refer to you as his husband? Like, how does that make you feel?
I'm sure he will. You know, because that's what I am. But it's really funny, like, we're having this conversation, because, like, the people in our lives, like, it's really fun to see them introduce us to people. Like, Joe's mom is notorious for saying, this is Joe and his friend Jeffrey.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Well, like,
who says that? His friend? Who says that?
His mom.
Oh, my gosh. That's right.
Well, you have to think, though, too, like, they're from kind of a small town,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, where they're true rednecks. Like, and I'm really okay with her saying that. I'd actually prefer it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't need to draw no attention to it. And I really hate the fact that, like, why? Can't you just be like, this is my son Joe and this is Jeffrey? Like, why do you even have to label
yeah.
me?
Right,
like,
I
was going to say, like, why does she have to say anything? Why can't she just say, this is Jeffrey and Joe? Why do you have to
like,
be...
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel
right,
like...
That's what I'm
still, like, I still feel like it's taboo in society, and
mm-hmm.
you don't know how somebody's going to react. So I'm not really about... I'm not going to deny it if they ask,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
I don't feel that I need to broadcast it. Now, what's funny is now when somebody introduced me as his friend, like, I kind of always cringe because I hate the way that sounds, too. Like,
right.
just don't say anything. Just introduce me as Jeffrey.
Right.
Yeah,
my thought is, it's kind of weird, like, his friend. Like, I would how would you feel if she says, this is Joe and his partner, Jeffrey? How would you feel about that?
Well, here's the thing. Now, that's what my aunt does. She
uh-huh.
will be like, we went to this diner, and it's like, you know, it's a diner. We're not talking a restaurant. It's a fucking diner. And
uh-huh.
she's like, oh, this is my nephew Jeffrey and his fiancée Joe. And, like, Joe kind of, like, glanced at me real quick, and I glanced at Joe, and I wanted to crawl under the table and die. Because these are, like, not, like, young people. They're older. They look like Republicans. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, you know, I was more uncomfortable with that than I was, this is Joe's friend Jeffrey.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
funny.
Like,
it just depends
like
who we're around. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if it's older folks, like, if it's people in their, like, 60s and 70s, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, odds are, I just don't want I don't want to deal with the conversation. Or, you know, it's
right.
somebody that doesn't know and they're fine with it, but they have a million and ten questions.
Right.
Like, bitch, my name is not Mother Love, and we are not doing this show today.
Right. That's what I don't like. Like, it's almost like if you introduce yourself that way, all of a sudden it's like, really? Wow. Like, you guys are gay? And it just, you know, that's like what I always hate when I have to, you know, quote unquote, come out to someone for the first time. Because then it's just like a whole world of explanation. Like, really?
Michael, I'm telling you, unless they're idiots, they know.
Right.
Most of the people I know are idiots, all right? That's all.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying. Like, your fucking boss is a moron. Like, he is
well,
a fucking absolute moron.
If he I think he's a perfectly swell guy, and he's great, and if he happens to be
Jeffrey.
I'm sorry. That is my opinion alone and not the opinion of anybody else here on Unscripted Radio, Michael Cummings, or Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, you're a moron. Sorry.
It's true. If you're listening, you're a moron because you didn't know he was gay. I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm not saying you're a bad boss.
It's so crazy to me that you guys still have to have the talk. Like, I don't understand how it's so, like, I think it's maybe because I live in L.A., and it's a very common thing to find out someone's gay. There's not going to be a conversation. You're like, oh, okay, they're gay, okay. And you kind of keep it moving. It's no big deal. It's like, that's what blows my mind that, you know, obviously in Auburn or in Rhode Island, you would have to be possibly plagued with the thought that you're going to have a conversation about it.
Here's the thing, though. It's kind of judgmental on our part. Because the thing is, it may not be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
but, like,
sure.
I just know there's so many fucking religious idiots in this town.
Right.
You know, and it's not even with the younger people. It honestly, truly is, like, people, like, 50 and above that I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this.
Right.
I just don't. Or like my father's telling all his macho kind of redneck friends, yeah, he's gay, he takes it up the ass with Joe, you know, hey. And I'm like,
are you serious?
What are you doing?
Oh my God, that is...
Oh, yeah, right. Like Vito, like, went from like, oh, you fucking fag, to like, he's like, yeah, that's my son, and he does the drag, you know, he dresses up in the women's clothes, and he gets on the stage, and he does this little dance number, and he wears the heels and everything, does the makeup and the wig, you should see him, he looks just like my cousin Karen.
You know what's funny, though? It sounds like he sounds very proud of you, like, that's like kind of a, like, I feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside, you know?
Yeah, but it's
there's
one of those things where I just want to crawl under a fucking rock and die. Like, I don't want these people to know.
Right. Well, it's like me. My mom does that to me. Like, I remember, like, I can't go anywhere. I can't. I mean, it's been how many years? And, I mean, literally, I'll go to visit her. She lives in Odessa, which is a small town outside of Dallas, probably like 5-6 hours outside of Dallas. I can't go anywhere. And she's like, yes, this is my daughter, Ashley. She calls me Ashley. This is my daughter, Ashley, the Power Ranger.
Okay.
And then has a photo album of like every single picture event. I'm like mortified. Like, I'm just like, Mom, are you serious right now? Like, I have no makeup on, and we're at the Safeway, and you want to tell people who I am? Like, are you serious right now? Like, it makes me crazy. And it's not that I'm not proud of that or I'm not proud of my accomplishment. It's just I'm like, I'm at the Safeway with no makeup, and it's a Tuesday. Do we really have to talk about this? Because then, you know, the next thing that happens is they're like, oh, can you, my son is having a birthday party. Can you come over with the suit? I don't even know this person.
God.
Yes, now all of a sudden I'm a clown, and
exactly.
I'm just a party.
You could probably make sick money by fucking doing that. Have you ever even thought about it?
No, hell no, because I tell people right now, I'm not a clown, I'm not showing up in the suit, and I'm not going to a kid's birthday party that I don't know.
Bitch,
kids
you are crazy.
Money.
I would be ripping on some fucking spandex, and I'd be running over there with fucking bells and whistles on, like, it's morphin' time! Now bid me $1,000.
You're not going to be kicking me in the shins just to get, you know... I'm sorry.
$1,000.
Dude, stop pimping around like she's Barney, the fucking purple
guy. Well, I hate to break it to you. Everybody's like, who's in your wedding party? I'm like, oh, my Aunt Melissa, my Aunt Cindy, Mimi, who I nannied for, Katrina Johnson from All That, and Karen Ashley. Everybody knows her. It's Aisha Campbell, the Yellow Power Ranger from the original movie. And that's always my list. When somebody's like, oh, my God, that's so cool in your radio show. And I'm like, yeah, bitches, how many of you can say a fucking Power Ranger was at your wedding?
Call me Barney.
Poor Karen. I apologize.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's all love, bro. I'm excited as shit. Like, this is big shit.
I understand, but it's like, it's that I get the conversation. Like you guys would get the conversation. Now I get
I
the conversation.
Oh,
as
you're, well,
how
I think
many
everybody's going to get it. Because they don't.
They need, and how many can I come to their child's birthday party? And they're like,
don't,
you don't understand. My kid loves you. And I'm like, woman, you and everybody else's kid does too. Your kid ain't special.
Well, look, I'll put a disclaimer. I will get on the mic before I walk down the aisle and be like, please, there's no autographs for Karen Ashley or Katrina Johnson, and please do not talk to them unless they speak to you first, and no, she will not come to your children's birthday party, so fuck off.
And no, she will not wear the suit.
I am going to pay someone $20 to walk up to Karen and Jeffrey's wedding and be like, so, you do weddings too? That's awesome. I'm getting married next summer. I would love to have you there.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's going to fucking happen because here's the problem. It's going to be my Aunt Kathy. I'm telling you right now. Every
Aunt
like,
Kathy, stay the fuck away from me, Aunt Kathy.
It's been working through the phone. Oh, I fell backwards. Because, you know, she homeschooled her son. And so she has seen the entire series of Power Rangers with him. So I remember, like, after my brothers were done, I was like, oh, whatever happened to that show? And she was, like, telling me how all the series connected and what happened. Like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, I, you know, whatever.
Right, here I come. It's your life.
Yeah, well, they have been asking. Like, it's been getting through the family tree. Like, she has, she just mentioned it to me for the first time, like, last weekend or whatever, at my brother's, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm burping like a sumbitch, at my brother's graduation party. But it had been, like, rumbling, it was my grandmother. Which Power Ranger's coming to the wedding? Which one again? I'm like, Aisha, the one with the braid from the movie. She boogied with the bear.
Ay, ay, ay. See?
Okay, you can't even say shit. You say Alpha's line
all
the time.
You know what I'm going to do? this is what I'm going to do. We're going to walk around Auburn, and I'm going to say, this is Joe and Jeffrey, his partner.
You're right. But what do you want me to say? That you're not a Power Ranger?
How about just introduce me as Karen Astley? How about that?
Well, I know when you're here in
his
person.
Partner, his friend. This is Jeffrey, his friend.
Well, I mean, that's, I did that with, like, okay, so I have, so how do you, if you're, like, if you run into one of your exes, okay?
Uh-huh.
Would you introduce them as, oh, this is my ex so-and-so, or would you introduce them as your friend?
This is such-and-such. They don't even get the friend. It depends on our, depends on how it all went down. This is such-and-such.
Right,
such.
I mean,
this is Mike. This is Mike.
Yeah, we had earlier, like, why does anyone need a label? Like, well, Karen, with you and your man, like, do you introduce him as your boyfriend, and does he always call you, like, his boo? How does this all work?
No, I already think this is my boyfriend, because I'm proud of him. this is my life partner.
This is my life partner.
He's my life partner. So, yeah, no, but, yeah, no, I get it. Like, I totally get your pain, and I get the conversation, because I, too, have that, but it's just a different conversation. It involves spandex.
Oh, that is fresh.
It's fresh, right?
That is. Speaking of fresh. Fresh, where'd you go? Fresh?
Freshy fresh. Where you at? He's sneaking away. He's calling
out. Are you talking to me?
Yes, yeah, freshy fresh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was having a little bit of a crisis here that I had to attend to for a moment.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
child. Here it's coming again.
A little bit. I had to mute myself because it would have distracted the flow.
Oh, God.
You had to take a piss, didn't you?
No. I had child problems. Not that it's during the day or anything, and not that this show was pre-recorded at all on a Friday at 1 o'clock. It's definitely not.
Damn,
and can I just
damn,
tell you, I want to give everybody an update on that son of a bitch that fell off the roof next door and smashed my bush.
Oh, please. We've all been listening and waiting.
I am looking out. My yard is trashed still. There is shit and shingles all, like, up in the bushes, you know, like, where they hit the ground and how when they're all close together or whatever. There's shit all in between there. And they smashed a lot. Like, they fucking trashed my bushes. Like, I'm fucking pissed.
Right.
Like, if I see that son of a bitch that fell off the roof, I'm going to break off that big-ass piece of bamboo right there, and I'm going to fucking smash it in his face.
Woo.
Oh, my.
Sounds like sexual tension.
Oh, no, honey. I took care of that the other night. Good Lord.
Mm-hmm. How many times a week do you and your boyfriend, or you and your partner, or your friend, how many times a week do you have sex, Jeffrey? I'm just wondering. Can we get around about?
It depends. Because it's tough, like, if when we're doing the show, like, Joe will go to bed before I do, and somebody's
mm-hmm.
usually sleeping. But it's just a couple times a week.
Okay.
And,
maybe
it
more.
On the definition of I hate to get all Bill Clinton, but it depends on the definition of sex. I mean, Joe has a very unique
Mike.
Yes.
Mike. Michael is already mad at you. I wouldn't rock the boat.
Mike.
Any other time, I'd be down for this conversation, but not right now because he's still a little bitter over the. Yeah, just let's not say we did, boo-boo.
I love you,
Joey. Mike, what do you mean that he's bitter?
Well, you know, the fat friend.
Oh, about
yeah.
The friend. Oh, yeah,
friend.
Earlier in the week.
Yeah, but he's not just pissed at Mike. Like, he's pissed at me, too. But, you know, it's easier for him to be more pissed off at Mike.
Right.
All right, let's ask Mary me.
Well, I don't even think he's really pissed off anymore. I think it's just like if we said something else that would piss him off, it could be bad. Like, I don't want to deal with it.
Right, right, yeah. Let's keep a happy home, especially since you're entering into a fun-filled weekend of debauchery. You
it
might
really
have issues with other friends.
I hope we don't get arrested this weekend. Like, I just have this funny feeling, like, because I have been, like, I am built up, like, not getting fucked up, not going out. Like, I haven't done shit in months.
Uh-oh.
And I am fucking ready to go. Like, I want to get down.
Right.
Like, I'm like, somebody bring some weed. Get me a bong. Let's do it.
None of that.
Get me some hypnotic. Like, I want to fucking get down.
Right. Okay.
I just want to put that out there for anyone who may be listening. I do not do any illegal drugs.
I'm sure people don't do those kind of things.
I don't do it either. It was a joke, bitches. Again, you always have to ruin it. People listen to the show. They know I don't smoke weed. I can't. I have asthma. I would die.
Well, look, I don't need to get a random drug test and not go back to work Monday morning, all right?
That's true.
Like, this is really horrible.
Now he knows that he's gay.
I know. Yeah, only if my bush fucked up. This guy is so ugly. Oh my god.
Okay.
Oh,
I cannot take it when you talk about this fucked up bush. All right. And then in the next sentence, you're saying how the guy is ugly because I'm getting a visual in my mind. I don't need to be getting.
You're an idiot. Like, seriously, like, the branch that the guy fell on is, like, all sorts of leaned over, and the guy's, like, just kicking it around. Like, just fucking break it off, dude.
So my thought is this. Why did they, like, come over and say, hey, we're so sorry, we'll pay for that?
No, nothing. Well, and here's the thing, though. Some guy came over and banged on the door last night and was like, can you get your car out of the driveway?
What did he say? Can you fix my fucking bush?
All week long, they have blocked our fucking driveway off with a fucking thing. Like, and they're not even over there. Like, why? Okay, first off, dude, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Motherfucker called me and was like, so they were wondering if they could use your driveway, like, Monday, Tuesday during the day a little bit, whatever. Okay, that's cool, but now you blocked my shit off overnight.
Right.
Like, I'm not really cool with this no more. Like, I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
Right.
Like, and you need to make sure that your shit is picked up the fuck out my yard. Because if I come out there with my big fishbowl, shit's going to go down. Because you're not going to have to worry about the fact that they're all wearing hard hats now and they're tied onto a roof by a rope. Because I am going to drop you from a fucking roof. I'm just saying. Oh, guess what? I have really good news.
What?
What's her face? The alleged whore is here. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, come on. You want to talk about a whore? How about you tell me about a whore who gave me the wrong time to call in? How about that, whore?
Oh, damn, bitch.
How about that?
Bitch, have another fucking cocktail. I told you noon. Oh, wait. I mean...
Yeah, but you told me now. What time is it? Yeah.
We do the show at the same time every night. It's always 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's not my fault. You don't...
Yeah, this bitch is playing pranks on me. He's like, oh, no, today's the time of the show. How about that? Okay, all right. So you want me to show...
All about you, girl. We were just talking all about you.
What the fuck? This has been going on now for how long? Every show, you bitches have to bring it up?
Well, don't taunt me. Do not taunt me. I am not the one.
Don't worry, Katrina. You know what I'm going to do to him? The next time when I see him and he has a big old fishbowl. And he's got I'm gonna sprinkle some toe jam in the fishbowl.
Let me tell you right now.
Low, dude.
You don't even get your foot near my fucking I will cut your dick off and put it in the garbage disposal. No joke.
That's too big. The donkey too big for the garbage disposal.
Yeah, hey, you don't fuck your shit up. Then you ain't gonna
I'll go get the, you know, the, what the hell is that, the mulcher, you know, where she takes the shit. Oh, shit.
He doesn't know.
You know what, you fresh.
They're all fresh. Y'all got problems. You need Jesus.
Yeah, we do, really.
We really do. We really do.
We need to focus more
on God, guys.
Let's see if we can get Jesus or one of his representatives here on Earth on the show.
I know, I have my dad.
Just call her ex.
What?
Too soon?
Jeffrey could have been real mean to Mike, but he did what Jesus would do, and he actually gave him a compliment. So I think we're getting there slowly but surely, Katrina. But
whose ex are we just threatening to call?
The one that's to focus on Jesus.
You know, the asshole. I was actually trying not to, like, diss you.
I like to laugh. She goes, I love how Katrina goes,
because I'm taking direct quotes, bitches. I'm taking direct quotes because some people are just assholes.
That's right. You're right.
Even with their magic stick they had, their talking fucking whatever the fuck it was.
Oh, what did I sign on for today?
Good
Lord help us.
I know, girl. You're coming in on the end of something crazy.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when we let Jeffrey moderate the show. We don't have any actual topics. We end up talking about my dick and Katrina's exes the entire 60 minutes.
Well,
conversations about your donkey, Mike. I'm just saying.
Mike, they all wanted to know if you ever called that guy to come to the wedding.
Yeah, Mike, did you ever make the call?
I sure did.
Did you call Merlin the magician?
I don't have Merlin's number.
Lucky for you, Mike, I Facebooked him.
Oh, God.
I just need Merlin to come just on GP. He don't even have to come as your date. He just needs to come to the wedding so we can laugh our ass off.
Yeah, yeah.
At Mike.
And make us cupcakes. She's a baker.
I got it.
I'm sure boy can make a killer cupcake.
We can do something. What the hell was that show, Canned in Camera? Or whatever, we'll do a spy show. We'll have Mike call him that he wants to go catch up with him and they'll go out to dinner. And we'll, like, get the camera and we'll sit across the restaurant and watch.
And we'll talk to them. Yeah, I'm a good creeper. I can make that happen.
Yeah.
I was afraid
that we'd be laughing so loud that the Merlin would hear us. Like, we would be so, we wouldn't even have any kind of, like, downloadness to anything that we do. We'd be crying.
I know, and he'd be like, those two bitches look real familiar over there. I swear I know them from somewhere. And that fat kid. Like, God, they all look familiar.
He would definitely know Karen, because back in the day, oh, boy, this is, I don't know if I've told this story, but back in the day when Merlin and I used to hang out, and him and his other brothers, we would actually play the Power Rangers. So,
you see?
There it is.
He would play the Power Rangers.
As much as I try to downplay my nerdy history background.
Wait, you were still hanging out with him then?
Yeah.
This is the thing. I told you that guy would be at the convention. I told you. He'd be at the one. He's right in my lane as a fan.
You know, the crazy part was we would go out and play in the sumac trees, and that was like the command center. The sumac trees. You know those.
Are you fucking kidding?
No.
The sumac trees.
And that would be our command center. And we would always fight over who got to be who. Because, you know, someone always wanted to be Tommy. And then someone always wanted to be the red one. Well, I always got stuck being the stupid blue one. And nobody really wanted to be the blue one, all right? So I would end up playing the yellow one because she's always so cool. We always liked Miss Aisha. We love her. Until Merlin's mom would come out, and they'd be like, oh, you can't be playing a girl part, you know.
She was in denial of herself.
You used to want to be Karen when you grew up? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I liked her saber tooth, you know.
He liked me and my saber tooth. I love it.
Fucking lie.
There was my Power Ranger confession. All right. There it is.
The Power Ranger confession was...
You added me to the whole wedding party, and now you, Mike. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Now that Karen is completely creeped out that one of her co-hosts on the show with her used to run around with a yellow pillowcase tied to his head because he was trying to beat up the yellow Power Ranger.
For the record, Mike had way worse things attached to his head.
Yes. I'm actually not shocked by that, Mike. Man. So, yeah, so, Katrina, you know, we're going to go to this wedding. I don't know if you know this, but it's going to basically be a wedding slash autograph session slash personal appearance that we're not getting paid for because Jeffrey has already announced that we are, you know, like Aunt Kathy is going to be trying to take pictures with us the whole time. So you need to be prepared for this.
She is the only one. And thank you, Katrina and I. Katrina, tell her how it is, because you and I've had this conversation, and you're like, bitch, I'll sign autographs all day, $25.
Right. Yeah, see, I'm going to get paid. I'm not as nice as Karen. That's not my problem.
Well, I wouldn't sign anything either. I'm sorry.
Pictures, some autographs, whatever the hell she wants, but the second she wants it for free, she's getting Power Ranger pimp slap. And Kathy, I'm sorry.
Right.
No, it'll be, you know what'll happen? They'll be like, I'm the aunt or whoever. I want to get a picture with the bridal party and the bride.
Oh, sneaky, sneaky. I see what you did there, my friend.
I'm just going to be a dick. Like, I'm going to be like, get away. Like, I'm going to get a protective barrier around you two so that you're just mine. Because, frankly, that's how it's going to be. Like, I kind of feel bad because, you know, I'm not going to be hanging out with anybody. I'm going to kind of be a dick and be like, hi, okay, great to see you. I'm busy.
That's so wrong.
You can't
that's
be
so
mean
wrong.
To people who came so far to see you and bought you presents.
Right.
Okay, look it. Here's the thing. I'm going to have somebody going through the gifts as soon as we get them. Anybody that gives us less than $25 is not going to get to eat. They're going to be asked to leave.
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
Anybody that gives less than $50, I'm not talking to that day.
Like, you're not getting your slice of lasagna if you gave less than $50 guest.
I'm sorry. You gave less than $75, that open bar doesn't include you.
Right, he keeps going up.
Right?
You know,
oh, hell yeah.
It's less than $100. You can't come in the door.
That's right.
Oh, that's crazy.
Look, I'm just saying, everybody's got to be in it to win it. Let's make money.
Yeah, obviously. Well, go ahead and set up the autograph booth then, Jeffrey.
And then set up a kissing booth for the donkey.
I think everybody's kind of, I don't know, I'm honestly kind of, I think everybody's over it. You know, they all, most of them all know about the radio show and that we do it, and nobody really says anything except, like, my aunt was, like, the one that was like,
Aunt Kathy.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious, because I think it'll be different when they actually see you guys in person. I think there might be a little stuttering going on. Like, and I know my fucking whacked-out cousin is like, yo, is that blonde single?
Huh?
And Uncle Len.
Katrina, you don't want any part of it. If it's the cousin I think he talks about, you don't want any part of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, here's what
right.
you say. You look him dead in the eye and say, can you afford her?
Right.
Oh, well, that's what I told him. And I was like, dude, she doesn't fuck losers.
I mean, I do. I do. I just don't keep them. If they're wearing spandex and have tattoos, there's a chance that, you know.
You're getting it.
No, honey, there's look, I mean, there's a saying that you can, you know, maybe fuck someone if you put a brown bag over his head. Look, the only way you could fuck this dude is to put his entire body in a burlap sack, okay?
Well, that's a piece of purpose, doesn't it?
That's just rude, Mike.
Too much much fun.
I love it.
I'm sorry,
I think it's
Jeffrey.
I think it's great.
I apologize.
Okay, no. What's really fucking creeping me out is you know Uncle Lenny. It's not his real name, but that's... He's like that old guinea, you know, like he was like, whatever, he still thinks his shit's amazing and he's like the chick magnet. Like he taught my brothers when they were like real little, like two and stuff, they'd be like, what's Uncle Vinny go cruising for? And they'd be like, chickies. You know, and he's not nobody's Casanova. He's like, you gotta wine and dine him. You know, take him out to the Applebee's.
Oh, that's some Applebee's
yeah.
in the
house.
Right.
But now he's like, I mean, literally, like I moved in next door and I had, you know, my friends coming over and we're partying and stuff and he's coming down and he's trying to chill with us. And this motherfucker called me after one of my girlfriends left and he's like, yo, what's up with that black haired broad? He's like, she a pig? She like to fuck? Literally, that's what he said.
What?
To me. Where?
No.
Wow.
In exact words. Yo, what, she a pig? She like to fuck? I was like, uh-huh. And then I called my mother. I was like, your brother has got fucking problems, okay?
Wow.
I just want to apologize ahead of time.
My goodness.
But I'm not sure he's really, I'm going to get killed if any of my family's hearing this, but I'm not sure he's really still into the game considering he has a colostomy bag and shit.
Oh, that's kind of good. Look,
he's just extra big pimping. He's just extra big pimping. That's all.
Well, it's messed up. Like he used to live in the apartment above me. You know, my parents had the apartment complex thing, and he had his colostomy bag because he had diverticulitis, and he didn't get rid of it because he was too afraid they would kill him. And he'd still have bitches up there, and you'd just hear the bat. We're all like. Seriously, like, what is she thinking? She's fucking him with that bag? Like, what?
I don't know. I mean, what if the bag, like, breaks while you're doing it and you got...
Well, that happened.
Everywhere.
Oh. He was hanging something. After I moved out of the little apartment, he fell off a ladder and he broke his arm. But he was all...
Oh.
He was, like, dealing with a drop ceiling. He took out the whole drop ceiling.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And, like, he had bags over him, so he, like, comes to the back door, and we're all fucked up. We're partying. And he looks like the Michelin Man. I mean, it was the greatest day of my life. And he's like, I think I broke my arm. And he's, like, turning pale, and his bag busts. His bag.
Jeffrey. You shouldn't be laughing.
Because I look at my friend.
Together, man.
No, because my friend Tuna Noodle was his age, right? And I'm like, bitch, I ain't doing this. This is on you. You the girl. She had to go upstairs and clean him up. He wouldn't go to the hospital while his hair being washed.
Well, I don't blame him. He might get a chickie at the hospital, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't getting nobody
right.
with his busted bag.
Poor
Ugh.
Bastard.
No. Man.
Welcome to my life.
Right.
So you guys are still planning on going right now that you've heard about crazy Aunt Kathy and Uncle Lenny and his colostomy bag.
Yeah, and I know now that Joe farts a lot. I just don't know about this wedding, Jeffrey.
Yeah, luckily the bride and the groom are taking separate limos, so we're going to be in a limo where no one will be farting unless someone is rubbing my foot in the wrong spot. Then I'll help.
I'm having full access to my fishbowl the whole time. Jeffrey got me one. I'm using it.
You guys are going to
I'm
going to
grab you all and my other friends from California, and we're just going to go. In our own bubble. Like, I'm actually thinking, like, the whole time you guys are here, we're going to go stay at the Holiday Inn.
That's so wrong, Jeremy. People are going to be so mad at you and never talk to you again.
I don't care.
Yeah. They're going to take your wedding gift back.
Yeah, I don't think so. There'll be a bouncer.
Fine by me.
Look, I'm going to say hey and be a little social.
Mm-hmm.
But not all that.
I know. Luckily, this is like the great part for me is it's not my wedding, I don't have to be social. I can hang out with Karen and Katrina the whole time. We're going to get wasted.
Yeah, that's
and
what
then,
you
think,
though. But everybody knows you. And they're going to be coming up to you because they haven't seen you. Like, hey, how are you doing? So you're doing the show with Jeff. Who are these two?
And I'm going to be
have
like,
fun,
look,
bitch.
Look, if you knew me, if you know me as well as you think you knew me, you know 10 years ago I was an asshole, and I'm still an asshole now, so step the fuck off.
No! Mike!
Yeah, no surprises here.
Nope.
That's funny.
No, what's really funny is everybody loves Michael.
Right.
For some reason.
He acts
like
he's so big and bad, and he's all loved. Everybody loves him.
Well, you know, it's Michael's thing where he, you know, pretends to act like an asshole, but he's got to fit in with the folks. So when he's around, he does his part.
Yeah.
I
he's
do
a
my part. I flash the pearly white. I'll let Joyce grab the donkey so she can finally feel like she's had the experience, and we'll be fine.
Oh, God.
No, you have to worry about Joe's mom. Well, and all of his aunts and his sisters now. Because at the wedding shower, it got brought up, and everybody wanted to see it.
Oh!
Wait,
they want to see the miracle that is the doll.
Well, because my mother and Joe's mom, they're like, he's so small. There's no way that he's got a, you know, his junk is that big. I'm like, look. I didn't want to see it. I'm telling you, it's that big.
I love that you have these type of conversations with your mother, Jeffrey.
Yes.
I have these conversations with my grandmother, too. Is this not normal?
No.
Yeah.
I come from a family of five sisters, and we ain't having these conversations. I ain't trying to talk to them about nothing. I don't want to hear about them, and they don't want to hear about me. We're all good.
Yeah, this wedding is going to be interesting. Like, you guys are going to be signing autographed headshots, and I'm going to be autographing photos of my dick, okay? That's not even good.
Yeah, Mike's going to be he's going to have the autograph session and the picture session. It's like Katrina said, we need to have a kissing booth for the donkey.
Yep. That's what's up.
You get to charge more than a dollar. I think it's $10 to kiss the donkey.
Yeah, and the thing is we'd be able to, like, you know, film a whole 80 episodes of Unscripted Reality.
But, hey, Scott, we got to raise the price. $20 to kiss the donkey, $50 if you make it spit.
Listen, though, don't let Scotty too hotty hear that. He'll freak out.
Right.
Like, it's a joke, bitch. It's a joke.
It's a joke. Back up off the mute, Scotty Too Hottie.
Well, kids, this is about the end of another hour. Isn't that crazy?
This is such a fun. We've got another show dedicated to the donkey. And a little bit about your wedding, Jeffrey, and Aunt Kathy and Uncle Eddie.
Uncle Eddie. Okay, now he went from Uncle Vinny to Uncle Lenny. Now he's going to be, I'm going to call him Uncle Eddie.
What's his name?
I'm going to call him Uncle Fester.
Uncle Baggy.
That's
he's going to
so
hit
Uncle Ziploc.
Uncle Ziploc. He's got junk in his trunk for show. He's got a bag to prove it.
A-Rod? Was it A-Rod who was giving away girls packages when they hooked up with him?
Yeah. He's a winner.
Fox could do that.
What are we going to do, guys? Look at us. What is this show again, Jeffrey?
Heard that up. Unscripted Radio, you're guilty as much.
I can't do it right. Let me do it. Unscripted Radio, you're guilty as pleasure.
Now go get your moist highlight and wipe off your stranger moisture, please.
Right, wipe them shit up.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.
everybody. This is James, a.k.a. Lips. It is Friday, April 12th, and you are listening to the first show of Lips on the Air. Woo! alongside me, I have my two fabulous co-hosts. I have Miss Jasmine.
Hi.
And I have Miss Jeannie, our Dallas diva.
Hello.
And we are, it's going to be a fun conversation. We have a lot of stuff planned for tonight. But before we get into it, I want to give you guys, I want to give them an opportunity to tell y'all a little bit about themselves. Y'all know me. I'm the producer of Uncensored Radio. I produce Guilty Pleasures, and I work on some of the other shows. So y'all don't need to hear any more about me. I don't need to talk about myself anymore. So, Jasmine, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 23. I just recently started doing Uncensored Radio, Lips on the Air, so I'm excited about that. Pretty much moved around a whole lot when I was a kid. About ready to move again because I'm kind of going crazy here in Kansas. So that's pretty much it about me.
All right. And Jeannie, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I am currently living in Dallas, Texas. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm very excited about the show. I'm excited about chatting it up and getting to do this experience as well. I'm working on my master's degree right now in business administration, and I'm very excited to get going.
Cool. Well, yeah, you guys should know Jeannie. She is my cousin, and she's also the Dallas Diva. She calls in on Tuesday nights and dishes with Jeffrey and Karen about Dallas.
Oh, you know, yeah, we can't even get started about that right now.
Oh, God, no.
I'm so heated on this topic.
It would probably take up the entire show, and frankly,
yes.
I don't watch Dallas.
I know. I'm so disappointed in you for that. So disappointed.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I have a DVR. I might start DVRing it. maybe if they release the first season on Netflix, I can start watching it there. But,
yeah.
That kind of leads me into a question. Like, what are some of your TV guilty pleasures? Like, what is one TV show you would be ashamed to admit that you enjoy?
Oh, wow. I'm really not ashamed of much. I would have to
That's
say.
True.
This one kind of was a little embarrassing. I was big into the Jersey Shore stuff when it was big, just because I was so, it was like addicting. And I know it was stupid, and I'd watch it and think that, but for some reason, I would flip to the stations and see it and just be stuck on watching these. Yeah, that would probably be the one I'm embarrassed
the
about.
And the Guidette. I'm the same way. Like, I always said I never want to get into this show. I don't want to watch it. It sounds stupid. And then I caught myself watching an episode, and then, like, every time they had a marathon of the seasons, like, I sat in front of the TV and watched it for hours.
It's just addicting.
Like,
it makes you feel kind of stupid.
I wish I had their lives.
I know. I wish my problems were all that hard, you know?
Right. Like, I wish I could just, you know, go live on you know, Seaside Heights, whatever, for 3 months in the summer and work in a T-shirt shop and drink and have a good time
yeah.
and just live life. But I'm stuck being a responsible adult, you know, kind of.
Right. I wish I could travel, do all that fun stuff. But,
right. So going to
yep.
Italy for a season. Going
right.
to, I think they were in Miami for a year, for like a season or something like that. Like,
see, I didn't get too far into it. But you have been traveling.
I was
hearing you guys had just traveled not too far or not too long ago.
We did, yeah. We went to, before we get into that, Jasmine, what are your TV show guilty pleasures?
I guess my main one is probably American Horror Story, only because it's slightly a weird show. So it's kind of weird that I like it, but to me it's very, very dramatic. And just some of the things as far as like twists are very unique. Like, there's some things, like, you wouldn't have thought that they went, but they did. And it's just like, huh, I would have never thought. So, pretty decent show.
Cool.
See, and
well,
I've never gotten into that one.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
I like
the Ghost Hunter shows, like the ones that I shouldn't be watching, because I do believe in ghosts and I believe in spirits and all that stuff, and so
you
I shouldn't
what?
Be watching these.
Yeah, those aren't shows for me. Like, I just went and saw Evil Dead the other day. Oh my God, I about peed myself watching that movie, dude. Like, it was scary.
See, I usually get into Walking Dead and stuff like that, so I don't really have a whole lot of time. I have to pick and choose which ones I'm going to actually focus on.
Right.
Speaking of The Walking Dead, we have an interview with Theotis Crane, who played Big Tiny in The Walking Dead in the prison scenes for this past season. So definitely check it out. It's on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/myuncensoredradio. But yeah, speaking of you know, that, we traveled recently. Me and Jasmine went to Lexicon in Lexington, Kentucky with the radio show with Karen and Jeff. And that was where we met Theotis, and we met a bunch of people. But I want to know from Jasmine, what was it like for you? Because you really haven't had a chance to really talk about that, your experience there. So what was it like for you out there?
It was awesome. Like, even with, you know, having to run around and shoot the different interviews and promos and all of that, it was a blast, you know, working with Karen Ashley first off, which she's amazing, and then meeting Walter, Paul, Jason, and then other Jason, JDF basically, you know, and all the other different Power Rangers, which I'd never really seen them before, but it was cool meeting them. You know, and then other different people that I've grown up watching. It was just really cool. I loved it.
Cool. But who are you most, like, out of all the people, who are you most excited to meet? Because I know you were, were really excited to meet a couple people.
I was, indeed. All of them were pretty equal. The only one that had just a little bit more than the others was probably JDF, and that's only because he was my first, like, on-screen crush. Like, I was just like, oh, every time I saw him on TV. Like, with him and Amy, like, their little love story was the first one I'd ever followed. So, but I was, like, 8. So.
Right. Jeannie, did you ever get into Power Rangers when we were kids? I don't remember.
When I was younger, I remember, you know, watching it and kind of jumping around the house like I was the Pink Ranger. But, you know, I do remember Halloween, but I didn't really get super into it. Not to the point where I would really know much about what you're talking about.
No.
I mean, just to be honest, like, you're saying names and I'm just like, doo-doo-doo.
Right.
Don't feel bad. Like, just, you know, between me and you. I actually just recently learned, like, all of their names, like, before the Lexicon, so that I wasn't calling them.
In the car, on the way.
Right.
Yeah, in the car, on the way to Kentucky. I'm having to coach her. Okay, Zach's real name is Walter. You call him Walter.
Right, no.
Billy's real name is David. You call him David.
Oh, yeah,
like,
David Yost. That was another awesome one to meet. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was hilarious. I loved that car ride, by the way, because it was just like I had to give her, and even the night before, like, we're in the hotel room, and she's like, can we watch, it's like, some Power Rangers on Netflix? So we did.
Hey,
like,
that was your idea. That was all you. It was mine
to
watch the movie the next night.
No, you were the one that wanted to see the episode when Karen and them started, so don't even go there. But no, like,
whatever.
And then I'm still having to tell her, okay, his name is Walter. Like, it was hilarious. We had so much fun.
That's awesome.
But that drive home sucked.
Oh, it did. Longest, like, 19 hours of my life.
Wow.
9 hours, not 19.
No, I said 9 or 10.
9. No, I thought you said 19. I was like, what?
I did too. I was like, 19? Wow, where'd you all go?
No, 9 or 10. Yeah, it was a long drive.
Yeah, we were in... Yeah, one, we're going to be doing it again in August because we have the Houston one the first weekend in August. So hopefully Jeannie will be there with us too.
Yay!
Ooh, that would be so fun.
That would be amazing.
I hope so. We would love for you to be there. We would love for you to be a part of it and see what all we do when we're there. It was fun. Like, I don't think there wasn't an inch of the convention center that we did not touch. Like,
I know,
we were
right?
All over that place.
We really were.
Sounds exhausting.
Oh, but it was so much fun. And I felt bad. I felt bad for Dave because, like, I have these Dr. Scholl's shoes that were, like, $15 that I got at Walmart. My feet never hurt the whole time. And his feet and back
were
killing him.
Me.
Yeah, by the end of the weekend, he was done. I was just
like, my feet and my legs and my back hurt so much. But we walked, like, and I'm not kidding, we walked that convention floor, I think, at least 40 times, like, a day.
Probably. Like I said, getting different promos and just promoting Karen herself and, we were all
and the radio show and... Having to go in and out, you know, to go get stuff for them and things like that. It was ridiculous. Like, it was but it was so much fun. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
No, at all. It was so much fun.
It sounds like so much fun. I'm jealous.
No. Well, like you said, hopefully you can join us in August. That would make it even more fun.
Yes.
More than Marianne.
It would. To have that extra person there. That would be great.
Right.
But anyways... We talked about Lexicon. Let's go ahead and get into one of the first topics. And Jeannie kind of brought this one up, so I'm going to let you go ahead and take it away on this one.
Okay, so I'm reading through the news and, you know, the new current events and the important things going on. And, you know, we had this conversation a week ago where you just brought up, you know, why don't they ever, in the public eye and in the press, why don't they ever talk about the important things, you know? And so I'm reading through, and I see that Pepsi, there's this big article about Pepsi and Beyonce and how, you know, Beyonce had signed a $50 million promotional deal with Pepsi, and it was in the New York Times. It was, like, huge. It was taking up a big portion of the front page, and I thought, well, that's kind of crazy, like, $50 million. You know, I remember being younger and hearing the deals with Michael Jordan and things like that and thinking, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. You know, it would be like $2.5 million or, you know, something like that. Brittany got $1 million. Wasn't it $1 million for doing a Pepsi endorsement? So I'm reading on to this article.
And
it's talking. It was nine. Okay. Well, I remember, like, it was a huge amount at that, you know, whenever that was, 2000, something like that.
It's
so I'm reading through
to.
It.
Yeah.
And it's talking about how the multi-million-dollar fund that Beyonce had came up with for, you know, different organizations to give back to the community, and I'm thinking $50 million. First of all, there's a lot of questions there. Is she worth $50 million to do a minute and a half commercial? I mean, there was other things in that promotional contract that she had to do, which was the halftime show at the game, but I just thought, is $50 million? That's a lot of money. I mean, That is an unbelievable amount of money for someone who, yeah, you know, she's in the public eye, you know, she's got new albums coming out and things like that. But, I mean, do you think I just was curious on your point of view. Like, do you guys think that she was worth $50 million? Is Pepsi going to make that much money?
They'll probably make that money back between, you know, the fact that it's Pepsi. Because Pepsi and Cola, like, they're pretty much the same company, but, like, as far as, like, I think they sell about the same amount. So between their regular drinkers anyways and the fact that they now have Beyonce as a sponsor, they'll probably make it back.
So do you think a Coke drinker is going to go grab a can of Pepsi because it has Beyonce on it over the Coke that they know and love? Like, I just don't see where these ad agencies and where these companies are really, I mean, where's the brain power behind this? $50 million?
Right.
Unbelievable.
I don't drink Coke all that often. I drink Sierra Mist if I drink pop, and, you know, unless I'm, like, going out to eat somewhere, and then I prefer Coke. Now, I am a Beyonce fan. I do like her.
I do too.
She's not
I mean,
gonna, yeah, she's not going to make me, oh, they got Beyonce, oh, my God, I have to start drinking Pepsi. I was a
right.
huge Britney fan. I didn't start drinking Pepsi. I continued
well,
drinking
Coke.
Like,
I just thought, you know, and part
yeah.
of the endorsement deal says that she, the deal also involves a sponsorship of her next tour for the entire next year. So Pepsi's now going to sponsor her as part of the deal. So, I mean, that's even more money they're out. So why is this that
well,
big
maybe.
Of a deal?
Well, and maybe that $50 million, like, that's going to, you know, that's for everything. That's not just, you know, for her doing the commercial. Maybe that's that $50 million, it went into the Super Bowl performance, and it went into the commercial, and it's being put towards her tour. So maybe, you know, and you got to think, like, tours that Beyonce does, they are million-dollar
oh, yeah.
productions. Like just,
yeah, and they're
just
all over
together.
The world.
So,
yeah, I get that.
Right.
I kept thinking to myself, you know, at $50 million, no matter what the contract was, you know, I know I'm smart enough to know that I'd pick up a can of Pepsi and look like Beyonce. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know,
right.
with makeup and things like that. I mean, she had an amazing endorsement a while back with a makeup company, and it was just unbelievable that they pay that much money to have her face on a product. The ad agency
well, what
and things like that.
And I think it's funny, she had an endorsement deal with L'Oreal hair
yeah.
color, and the girl wears wigs.
Yeah, yeah. and she's made
like,
it very well known.
She wears a wig, and she wears weaves, and it's like, and you think, I can't think that she honestly believes nobody knows that she wears weave. Like,
well, she's
sorry,
she's
nobody
talked
about
has
it. Hair that perfect.
And she's talked about extensions and how it's easier
oh,
in the
yeah.
shows for her to flip a wig on than to sit and have all that redone. So, I mean, that's kind of like a catch-22 on there. I mean, what if we're going to find out she doesn't even like Pepsi? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I just
doesn't
thought
like
it
Pepsi.
Was crazy. It's crazy that,
right.
that in the media that it's that important to have somebody like that to endorse your product
right.
when your product doesn't sell
right.
itself. It's
right.
in the business.
Well,
isn't it?
I mean, like, mm-hmm.
looking at it from the business point of view, it's like I understand why we have to have marketing and why that stuff is important and ads and so on, but it's just $50 million. You know, there we've got on the same page,
right.
I was looking at another thing where it was talking about how the government and the deficiencies and all the money that the government's trying to cut budgets, you know, to compensate for the money that our country doesn't have. And I'm thinking, ask Pepsi. We got $50 million.
Right.
to give to one
ask
person.
Ask Pepsi. Ask Beyonce. Hello.
You
know? Hey, Beyonce, can you float us a couple $1 million?
You know.
Right.
Right.
Ask Oprah. She's worth billions. She's worth billions.
Yeah.
You know, ask Oprah. Hey, can you help us solve
right.
the debt?
Ask Oprah.
You, like, help to get us out of
Shit.
Debt. We'll make you like, you know, we'll make you Queen Oprah, Queen of the United States if you'll
right.
give us the money. Like,
I mean, she pretty
I
much
mean,
is.
There are so many. Right. I mean, stop building the schools, you know, stop building the schools in, you know, the third world countries and give us that money to, you know, get ourselves out of debt, really.
Well, yeah.
You know?
No, and I see
why
we have to do things for other countries and stuff, but we really need to focus on what's going on at home. And, you know, Beyonce, part of her
exactly.
thing was saying in this article in particular that she, you know, has all these charitable donations that she does for these good causes. And, yeah, they're great, but they're not in the United States, not one of them. So how is that helping
right.
us? You know, and I
right.
know that we need to help other people, and I'm not saying that we should focus just on the United States, but I think if there's that much need in the United States, and I can scroll down and read that, you know what I mean, then there's obviously more to it than that. And it's just like, go ask the, you know, I mean, I looked at it and I thought, I'm looking at one, I looked over at the other article and I thought, well, go ask Pepsi, they got the money, go ask Beyonce. You know,
right.
I was amazed
right.
that was the topic, that was the big highlighted article and issue over all the other things we got going on in the United States, period.
Right.
Crazy,
but
so
I
just wanted your opinion.
But going back on to like the whole, do you think she's really worth that much? You know, I think that she's been in the industry since she was a teenager, you know, since I can remember ever listening to, you know, watching MTV or, you know, whatever when I was a kid.
And Destiny's Child.
She's been so big. Right. She's been so big, and she's had so much success, and she has so much money. Why, I mean, do you think it gets to a point where, I mean, I understand, you know, she's still relevant. Like, she's still, She still puts out hit albums. She still has hit singles and things like that. But it's like, does she ever get to a point where you think that it would be relevant for her to, while she's at, you know, the age that she's at and she understands the industry and she's becoming this big businesswoman, don't you think it's time to maybe step back from being in the spotlight so much and kind of create your own label and work,
I think she tried that. She kind of took a break. She got married. She had the baby. And then all of a sudden she came back like 10 times harder than she was before, which was, you know, impressive. I mean, it was awesome.
Right.
So I'm not saying she's not a diva, that she doesn't rock it. I mean, she has an amazing voice. She's proven herself. She's got a great career. I mean, you're totally right. But it's just like, in my eyes,
right,
I just don't see where I think it would be worth a $50 million contract and the sponsorship of her entire tour. It's a like three continent tour. It's a big deal. And it's just like unbelievable,
right,
the amount of money that is thrown in some places. But then we have, you know, a topic you and I talked about. We've got soldiers sitting, you know, in the most horrible conditions and things that are going on there. And it's just like, yes, you know, they make that choice, but is that fair for us? You know?
Right.
That money should be going to good things.
Right.
You know,
I agree.
And it's just all about intent. You know, I drive down the road and there's a Planned Parenthood at the end of the street and there's all these picketers out there and they're out there every darn day in the rain, in this pouring, you know, pouring rain.
See, that's
awful. One day I got mad, right? And I parked my car and I got out and I walked up and this woman, it's this big sign and it says, you're going to go to hell if you basically, you know, abort a child and this kind of thing. And I walked up and I said, do you really feel like you're doing something here? She turned and looked at me like I was just totally out of line. And I said, you are spending all day, every day, standing in the pouring rain, in the horrible weather, holding signs, telling people that they're going to go to hell for doing things like this and that their souls are condemned. But you're wasting your time. I mean, if a girl's going to come and do this, the option, are you going to take that child and support that child? And, you know, I mean, you can't, you know, down her. And the lady's like, well, what do you think I should be doing? And I said, go to a homeless shelter and spend 2 hours. Go to an old folks home and call bingo. Go pick up trash at a park. You know, I mean, there are so many things you could be doing that would actually help somebody. And instead, you're standing here with signs all day long. You know, you're just, it's a waste of your time. And that's the whole thing. You know, you give back. And maybe Beyonce gives it back in a way, but it's just unbelievable that one person could demand that kind of money and get it.
Exactly.
Right.
I wish I had that power. I wish I could go up and be like, hell, Pepsi, I would do that for $150,000 and booty shake and all that good shit and dress half naked and do all that stuff. For $150,000, that would pay my bills.
Right. Right. I'd be like, no,
you
must, no problem.
Right. And I think when it comes to, like, advertising and things like that, by the way, a little segue. If you're not advertising with Uncensored Radio, you should be. Hit us up at uncensoredradio@AOL.com for more information.
love it.
But, like, I would like to see more average Joe people out there, people that you can actually relate to.
Well, what about, like, you know, you walk down the street.
Products.
Exactly, like in Dallas, you walk down the street and there's, like, groups of 10, 15 people that just kind of come out of nowhere and they start, like, playing the drums on the wall or on a trash can lid or on a chair, and the next thing you know, they're all together dancing, and it, like, lasts 2 or 3 minutes, and then it stops, and they all go back to normal, and it's just like, you know, those are real people who take their time, and they do those things, and it's the coolest thing ever, so why not pick up some people like that to do it? You know, it's entertaining. It's still offering the same idea behind it. It might not be Beyonce's booty shaking on there, you know, but the idea is, you're right, you're giving it back, you're pulling some people who aren't these big timers. I mean, Beyonce has a new deal at her door every day.
Right.
And they're bragging about,
like,
getting
right. Like, you're getting these big name celebrities that have millions of dollars already and could not be further from poverty than anyone. And you're giving them, you know, millions of dollars more to sell your product, to walk out and be like, hi, I'm Beyonce, drink Pepsi. Like, really?
Right. Right. And then, God forbid, something happened to Beyonce and she dies, then we've got Beyonce ads and pop cans and soda bottles. I mean, haven't you ever seen that where you go to somebody's house and a friend of a friend or something and they have a bottle that has somebody's face on it that's, you know, like Michael Jackson, and it's a Pepsi promotional deal, and now it's worth, you know, a couple thousand dollars, because it's just, it's insane how celebrities have so
right.
much pull on our society.
And people would actually pay that for a can.
Oh, yeah.
That has
really?
Michael Jackson's
oh, yeah.
face on it. Like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's actually a really good segue into our next topic, talking about celebrity deaths and, like, why they're so glamorized. I mean, I understand they're famous and they, you know, we know who they are, but it's like, why, I don't understand the celebration behind celebrating the death of a celebrity as opposed to celebrating the death of just anybody. I mean, I think that when it comes, death should be, it shouldn't be publicized. It shouldn't be out there. I don't think it should be out there for everybody to comment on, you know, and for people to be happy about, and people to be, you know, I'm losing my wording.
And,
I don't like this.
Well, and that's like, you know, something too is when they do, and then they have the big memorial service, and it, like with Michael Jackson. The reason I keep going to Michael Jackson is because that was so big. I mean, I just remember flipping through, you know, MSNBC, and it was on every single channel, and it was just unbelievable that it affected the world so much. And I thought to myself, you know, what do we know about Michael Jackson? Okay, put aside the music talent that he may or may not have early in the years, and let's go to just what we know about him now. He's got all these charges on him. He's not good in the public eye. And then all of a sudden he's gone, and the whole world's just up in arms about it, and it's affecting everything. I mean, it was everywhere, and I get it. Michael Jackson was a big part of what we know to have music now. I get that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a point where when there's a war going on and we have things going on in other countries, and, you know, those things aren't shown. We don't know that we just lost two soldiers in this platoon, or, you know, they don't.
Right.
You know, I get it. We don't want to depress society. We don't want to, you know, they don't want, they think that if they hide it, that it doesn't exist. I mean, you might know that there's a war going on, but unless you see those bodies and you see the stuff going on, you don't really know what's going on. You know, and so I get that. I mean, I see what you mean. It is overdone. I mean, just a couple days ago, they said that Annette Funicello had died.
Yeah.
She was,
yeah.
Did I say it right? She was a Mouseketeer back in the early days. And the first thing, I mean, I literally had been out of bed 10 minutes and my mom, oh, Jeannie, did you know that Annette died? And I'm just so brokenhearted. And I'm thinking, why? Did you hang out with her? Did you guys share a piece of cheesecake
factory? Right. That's kind of where it comes from, too, where it's like people get so upset and so brokenhearted. And it's just like, did you actually know this person? Did you hang out with them? Did you go to elementary school together? Like,
right. I mean, yeah.
Did you have sleepovers and play makeup and pillow fights? Like, really? Like, that's kind of where I'm wondering about that. Like, why is it?
Really,
I don't understand. I mean, it's sad. It's. Go ahead.
I think it just really depends on, you know, how big, you know, the celebrity is and how long they've been in the entertainment business, because people like Michael Jackson have been in the entertainment business since he was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
My dad's grown up with them. I grew up with them. And, yeah, he's got some stuff that he was, you know, was being charged for and, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, if you look at his childhood was hell. Like, his dad was a jackass who beat on him and his brothers, and it just wasn't a good situation, and, I mean,
even,
it's not really a shocker.
Well, even with that being said, like you're saying, they're dear to your heart. You watch them, you know about them. I mean, you watch them on TV fall in love, then you watch them, you know, in the press, you become a part of what you think is their life. I get that. But then, like, did you know who Farrah Fawcett is? Did you know she died the same day that Michael Jackson did?
Yeah.
I had no idea until weeks later.
I didn't know that.
Because they didn't talk about
same
that.
Day.
It was all about Michael.
Well, what ended up happening, the reason why Farrah ended up getting, like, the bag burn is because he died first. And not only did he die first, he was murdered. Well, no, I guess it was kind of suicide because he did it himself. But, like, the guy was giving him medicine that was too strong for him. You know, that he should have never been taking. And Farrah, she had cancer, and people kind of already knew it was coming. And
right.
It was publicized. I definitely remember hearing about it, you know, but he died first. Like, people,
not,
like, he was publicized first.
Well, I was in Kansas City
right.
at that time,
right.
and we didn't, you know, a lot of that stuff wasn't as big of a deal, I guess, as most, but with Michael Jackson, you saw it on every, even if it was like a hometown newspaper,
mm-hmm.
it was so, it just mm-hmm. saturated the entire market as far as any entertainment went, and it was just unbelievable, you know, and then you've got people
right.
like Marilyn Monroe. She's been dead. She died in 1963.
Right.
You know, she was
like
born
that.
In 36,
yeah.
died in 63. You know, I have a kind of infatuation with her in a way because my real name is
mm-hmm.
Norma Jean, and that was her name. So it's one of those things where I kind of invested some time into researching her, and people still today, Anna Nicole Smith, she tried
mm-hmm.
so hard to be her. She ended up dying the same way that she did.
Right.
You know, it was one of those things where, when has it gone too far?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, like, I mean, mm-hmm. and it's like, I mean, I can understand, you know, you know, growing up with an artist, growing up with an actor. Like, I'll be upset when Betty White dies. I will. I'll be the first to admit it. I loved her.
There's a difference
right,
in being upset and letting it control your life.
Right, but it's like when you're sitting there uncontrollably sobbing,
yeah.
Right.
over a celebrity, someone famous,
that's
someone who you
much.
May have met one time in your life.
Someone
you've
had no personal, there's no personal spark there. I mean, if something would happen to you, you know, I would be unbelievably just horrified. I would just kill me because you are a part
right.
of me. You know, you're not somebody that I had a picture of on my wall in high school, you know. It's a different, there's
right.
a sick line that comes into play there.
Right. It's different. Family's different. Blood's thicker than water.
Well, yeah.
Right.
But,
I agree
I mean,
with that.
Some people look at it that way. I mean, the first thing, like I said, my mother, you know, she's older, and the first thing she did was she called me. You know, the first thing that morning to tell me that somebody had died that had no meaning to me whatsoever, and she was actually crying about it. You know, I mean, I cried.
Right.
I won't lie. When Aaliyah died, I was devastated.
That was upsetting. Yeah.
Oh, Aaliyah,
right.
that just broke my heart because she had
so
much talent to give. You know,
yeah.
but
right.
there wasn't
and
a point
like,
where I had rituals in my living room, you know?
Right. Well, like, dear God, please bless Aaliyah and da-da-da-da and all that. Like,
right.
I
right.
understand
that.
I was upset when she died. I was upset when Left Eye died. Like, you know, I was,
oh,
a, huge,
yeah.
I was a huge TLC fan. I saw him.
Yeah.
But it's like, and even when Whitney Houston died, like, I was a fan of Whitney Houston. I felt bad for
mm-hmm.
her because, like, I know she went through a lot. Like, she had a lot of demons. You know,
the thing with
yeah.
Whitney Houston
life,
was
she,
that was another one of those epic great talents that we lost.
Agreed.
Yeah, but I think that they overpublicized it. I mean, I understand,
oh, yeah.
you know, it's Whitney Houston and she's this magnificent singer and she's got an incredible voice and just an amazing talent. But at the same time, it's like she's still just an average everyday person.
But that was
like, she,
yeah,
she's
but.
Like,
everybody you're right,
else.
Though. They did overpublicize it, and it was during, like, the pre-election stuff, so it was just like, come on, we have more important things to hear about.
Right. Like, okay, they have her funeral. That's only supposed to be 2 hours long, and it ended up running for 6.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you're watching CNN, and they're showing live coverage of Whitney's funeral, and
mm-hmm.
there's, like, outside, they have a camera outside, and they have an aerial camera down, looking down on the hearse, and it's like, you know, no commercial breaks, no nothing, and it's no back to you in the studio, nothing like that,
mm-hmm.
and they're just sitting there waiting for her casket to be brought out. Like, really?
One thing about it
like,
is that
you need to waste, you know, 40
people,
minutes watching that.
Well, that's what people
right.
wanted to see. That's the thing. The reason why celebrity deaths are so publicized, especially when they're big, like Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston, is because that's what people want to see. I mean,
right, they don't want to see the wars, the deaths,
you know,
they don't want to see the real issues.
Well, that's, well, the,
right.
and the only reason why is because sometimes that can be depressing. Like, I have a brother, a sister, and a dad who's a vet. My sister's Army, my brother's Air Force, and, you know, seeing stuff like that, it's rather upsetting.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's rather upsetting to see how many troops are actually dying. Not saying that we don't need to know, but at the same time, people need to stop getting so upset when, you know, something on Facebook's going around, you know, about a celebrity who's dying, when we had no idea the troop that, you know, that a troop may have died that day or, you know, the day before.
Right.
We don't know that. Nobody tells us shit, you
well,
know.
Well, that's like, I have a friend who I recently reconnected with, and he went to the military when I was 17. He went into boot camp,
mm-hmm.
and he never came back. And he was telling me that the day, like the weekend that he had, was his last weekend, and then Monday he was going to get on a plane and go home, and he was done active duty. That was
right.
the weekend of 9/11. And then he was telling me about how so quickly they were on, you know, a plane with no choice, and then they were there. And he was telling me about the smells in the countries and the different things going on. And I'm thinking, you know, I was so into his stories, I couldn't even speak, which is, you know, not like me. I have something to say about
right.
everything. And so it was just unbelievable because he was telling me things that they don't tell you about. You don't see
mm-hmm.
about. You can't even Google and find those things. And it's
mm-hmm.
like, it's unbelievable the things that people have no idea what's going on, and then they're covered in stuff, you know, like with Heath Ledger. You know, when Heath Ledger died, I was reading an article. Here in Dallas, we have a Galleria. It's a 16-story building next to
uh-huh.
like a 30-something story building. This man actually came dressed as the Joker, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or the character that Heath Ledger
right.
played, and actually climbed to the top of the parking garage and killed himself in honor of Heath Ledger. Like,
okay, that's
when
a little overboard.
This happened on January 23rd, 2008.
Yeah.
So when is there a line that has to be drawn there? You know, it's
right.
too much. Some of them, Steve Irwin. I mean, there were several deaths that were in honor of Steve Irwin. There's
yeah.
like 600 something deaths that were calculated. By VH1 in their big special on Nirvana over Kurt
mm-hmm.
Cobain. And
really?
It's like, I cannot, well, that was in the 90s. That was grunge. Everybody
oh.
was depressed.
Wow.
I mean,
that's mean.
I mean,
it was grunge. Everyone was depressed.
Well, it's true. Even he even killed himself, right?
Well, see, that's the thing. See, with Kurt Cobain, that's kind of up in the air. It's kind of who
yeah.
you want to
Did
talk
you read
to.
Her book? Did you read her book?
No.
Courtney Love has a book. And
no.
in Courtney Love's book, see, Kurt Cobain was another one for me where it's a music stepping stone is what I call them. And
mm-hmm.
so I got the book that Courtney Love wrote, and she's basically, you know, they categorized it as she gave him the dose that killed him.
Wow.
And, you know, and all this stuff. And it was just a lot of, I mean, literally two chapters into it, and I'm like, man, I could do so many other things with this book that would be way worth more than reading it, you know? Like,
right.
this is a waste
right.
of my time. But, yeah, it's
right.
unbelievable. But there are some people who truly get obsessive, and it's almost like they feel like these people are really their family.
Right.
Well, some of them, I mean, they might feel that way, because their home life is so bad, and they look to these celebrities as like, I'm trying to think of the right word.
Escape.
Yeah,
they look at them as an escape.
Pretty much, especially artists.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean,
right.
that might
okay.
be a main thing.
I would cry if Kelly Clarkson died.
Really.
Really?
Not gonna lie, I would lie. The woman wished me a happy birthday on my 18th birthday. I would cry if she died.
Fair
lie.
Enough.
Well, now,
okay.
And like
Roger Ebert,
I would weep for Britney Spears for like a day.
I'm sorry, I wouldn't
but
weep.
Like
I grew up with Britney, but I wouldn't like. Damn, that sucks. She was awesome. Moving on. You know,
right.
I might
I don't
weep
think, I mean,
for like a
Britney
day.
Might have been a
but
big
I wouldn't
deal
be
in her
like,
time.
Oh, God, Britney.
Well,
right.
have you seen
like,
that video?
Oh, geez.
Oh, my God. No, but like,
video?
You know, Roger Ebert, he died. He was a big person in the movie industry, and he was around for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I could see them paying a tribute to him, you know, because he had serious value. You know what I mean? As far
right.
as history goes. Same with Whitney, same with Michael. But then
right.
you have some of the ones
and
that...
And his was such... Especially with his being such... It was really unexpected because he had just announced, like, it was either the day before or 2 days prior to his death that his cancer had returned. Like, he had just announced it.
Yeah.
And so it's like... That his cancer had just come back. So it's like, that was... It,
that was sad because it was just like, yeah, it's so quick for him that it was that.
Mm-hmm.
I would understand like a memorial for him or an honor for him
that
he was such a valuable.
Well, go back to the Farrah Fawcett thing and the Michael Jackson deal. You know, do you think that because Farrah Fawcett was sick ahead of time and everybody knew that and it was already introduced, do you think that made it less of a big deal when she died versus someone who just dies? I mean, like Brittany,
yes.
Do you remember her? Gosh, I can't. She was in Little Black Book.
Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, Brittany Murphy. I was actually...
Like, that was a shocker.
She, I guess, because I had done a little bit of research into that, and she, I guess, had died from, I guess, when they did the autopsy, they had found she was suffering from pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was suffering from pneumonia, and they had, there were something about mold in her house. Like, I don't think her death was drug-related. But then not even shortly after she died, her husband died.
Well, they said, no, the husband died first, I thought. I don't remember.
No, she died first, and then her husband died a few months later.
I didn't realize that. But, I mean, that's like Bernie Mac. They said he died from pneumonia.
Well, he was sick beforehand. He'd been sick for years. I can't remember what it's called, but he's actually been sick for a long time before he died.
I didn't know he was on the Bernie Mac show.
But I don't remember anyone ever talking about him being ill, him having an illness or anything like that. So like, and it was just like boom, one day, Bernie Mac's dead. Like
Mindy McCready.
That was, I'll admit, that was a shock. I loved her.
Like,
I thought she was
the
amazing.
Mindy McCready broke my
heart.
Best,
she had a good voice. Like, and she
I
was
just
such
watched
a talented,
Dr.
like,
Drew.
She's so talented too.
Did you guys watch her on Dr. Drew at all? Like, I really had faith in her life. I really thought that she was going to be able to rehabilitate herself. And then, you know, all of a sudden she had a baby, and then she's married, and she's dead. You know, I was just like,
right.
Didn't he just die? Like, what happened there? Whitney Houston, it was drugs. Obviously it was drugs, but because she was drugged up, passed out, she drowned, so now she drowned, you know? So it's like, it's almost like the whole cause of what the death is, well, it's one of those things that's probably going to be covered up anyway. But, I mean, you go through, we lost a lot of people. I mean, Heavy D, do you guys remember who that was? That was back in my day.
Yeah.
I'm 30, so that was way back
in my
day.
Yeah, I remember Heavy D.
But, I mean, I remember people, like, when Ryan Dunn died, like, there's an article about these 18 teenagers in the area who were big Jackass fans and all this. And I guess that from the movie, this guy Ryan Dunn died in a car accident or something, and... the guy killed himself over it on the same road, the same stretch. And I thought, well, that's just as bad, you know. Amy Winehouse, wasn't hers an alcohol thing? I don't even remember.
No, I think hers was an OD, too. I don't think it was, like, alcohol poisoning. I think she was an OD.
I just remember
not
hearing much of her, and then she died, and it was every other song on the radio. You know, I understand that as human nature, we have to kind of mourn and get over things, and everybody does that differently. I guess I get that.
Right. But it's different when it's somebody that you physically know, like, personally, on that level.
Like you said earlier, these people believe that they know them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, that's
I
think it's time to go see a therapist. And get some help. Because if you seriously believe that you are best friends with a celebrity, like, I saw this thing on Facebook. It was a picture. And it says, single, taken, mentally dating a celebrity that doesn't know you are alive.
Right?
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I think that's when you kind of need to seek some professional help. Because that's borderlining. I'm going to be standing outside their concert venue with a shotgun. I'm going to kill their security, tag them, and take them home and tie them up. And they're going to be mine. Like, that's like where I see that going when I see people wearing shit like that. Or I hear people talk
different?
And they're just, like, so in love with someone.
Yeah. Does it make it different, though, if it's, like, say, an icon, like, say, when President Kennedy died? You know, that was all you see. If you go to the Kennedy Memorial here in Dallas, all you see is videos of people crying and throwing themselves and passing out. And, like, does it make it different if it's, like, somebody you have belief in and you have hope in their ideas?
Oh, yeah.
I think
that makes a major difference.
Because with,
I
like, the president,
I could see that being different.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking, too, was it has to be. Because with the president, I could see, you know, as a country, us putting our faith in him and our hope in him and then, you know, losing that when he died.
Right.
But he was a celebrity,
right,
technically. So does it make a difference?
Right. Because he was a public figure. But I think I look at that as being a little different just because he's the ruler of our country. Like, he is the person that is, you know, fighting to keep us as the land of the free and making the tough decisions.
But it's the same relationship.
Like, I think it's
the same relationship
exactly,
with somebody from a distance that you have no personal tie with.
Right.
Right. I agree.
But is it different?
I can see your point.
I mean, it's almost like it is, but it isn't.
It's
it
not different,
like,
but I can understand it. It's not different, but I can understand it. Just because you are watching, like, it's you're seeing the ruler, you know, the leader of our country. You know, somebody, like you said, somebody that you have put a lot of faith into and you really believe in this person. Like, I can see that. And I can see being upset about it. But I think that there's a line that needs to be drawn that's like, okay, I can understand crying about it and being upset, but like,
suicides and
you don't deserve the
yeah.
normal mourning period. Like, you don't deserve that normal,
so
you know, mourning period if it's actually somebody that you know. Like, if it's a relative,
what about
if it's
somebody,
your sister,
like,
if it's your brother.
What about, like, some of these tattoos where people get tattoos of Elvis and people get tattoos of past people that have died or their names? I mean, Daryl was a big rock star, and people had tattoos, like, No Tomorrow of him. NASCAR drivers and numbers.
That's just body art. I wouldn't get a tattoo of a celebrity, but I mean, getting a tattoo is way better than killing yourself in memory of them or in honor of them. Like, that's
right.
just a little
right.
overboard. You know, if you're really that into that person,
like, people
get their name or get a face or maybe like their birthday and death day tattooed on you. Don't kill yourself.
Right.
Or what I would do to honor an artist, like, you know, song lyrics. Like, pick a song lyric that you really, really love that has a lot of meaning to you and just get that on your body instead of their face.
Right.
It's like, have you ever seen that movie where the entire people
doing it for contests?
Yeah.
It's like that guy who has chickens on the block. Yeah. Like, getting tattoos on, like, your ass, like, getting, you know, someone's face tattooed on your ass to win backstage passes to a concert. Like, I could see people doing that. But even
right.
that's even too much. Like, I wouldn't go that far.
I don't think I would either.
Like, if they said you have to tattoo so-and-so's face on your ass or so-and-so's face on your dick, and we'll give you backstage passes so you can meet them, I'm sorry, they're not worth permanent body ink for me to just
no, but they do
I
that, though.
To meet them.
People do that. I mean,
know.
We have this. It's crazy. It's crazy. We have this guy here in
town.
We live
in a really weird society.
Oh, we do. Yeah. We do, absolutely. I mean, we have a guy in town who is a walking billboard. He sold off pieces of his body as billboards. So, like, he has different logos tattooed on him and insurance companies' phone numbers. I mean, it is unbelievable. And he literally is covered from head to toe in tattoos that are ads.
Nice.
And it's just like, yeah, right?
It's
crazy.
It's a walking advertisement.
It's a great way
to make some money.
Yeah, until your body's full and then you're broke and you can't get a job either because,
right.
you know, the 7-Eleven logo on your forehead.
You can't work anywhere.
Right.
Right, you can't work anywhere because it's a conflict of interest because you're promoting
yeah.
Target and you're trying to get a job at Walmart.
Right. Right.
That's awesome. I wonder if you could sue for discrimination at that point.
Right.
Awesome.
Well, but then they also, they did invent, you know, tattoo removal for a reason.
Right, you know? But that's a timely process, though.
Yeah, it is. And
it is a timely
process. It's
that's
expensive.
That's why I would do one at a time and be like, okay, I'll get this tattooed on my forehead if you give me enough money to get it removed when you're done with
you
it.
You know?
Yeah, when you're all done
yeah.
with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, there are a few people that I think I would be brokenhearted over, too. I mean, you know, there's your favorite artist or your favorite actor, things like that. And
mm-hmm.
some people that are just really awesome people and you know it, you know? But some of the stuff, like when we decided to talk about this, I started looking into it, and some of this stuff is just unbelievable, the measures that people will go to just to prove that they are the biggest fan or they are, you know, the biggest supporter. It's just crazy. I mean, people have lost their mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Look at some of the stuff.
Like the people that commit suicide in honor of these people, that's like, okay, you're being selfish because you're taking yourself away from people that care about you.
Right, right.
So
yeah,
I don't understand. Like, that's where I'm just like, that's where it's crossing the line for me. It's just like,
well, that goes back to how was their home life really? Like, did they really have people who really truly cared about them? Or did they come from a fucked up home? Like, it just really depends.
Right.
You know, if you're from an okay home, you're doing okay in your life, and you just get so upset because a celebrity dies and kills yourself, that's overboard. You know, that's very selfish because you had plenty of people who cared and loved you, and you killed yourself over a fucking celebrity who didn't even know you. Who would have wanted you to do it, you know?
But to touch on that subject as well, like, I know plenty of people that, you know, had terrible home lives, that grew up in dysfunctional families that disowned them for sexual orientation reasons and different things like that. And they were depressed and they were down, but they turned themselves around. Like, they turned their lives around.
It's a choice.
And became something so much better. You know,
well,
like,
and,
they didn't
okay,
let that
too
affect
is,
them. They didn't let that stop them.
When you're talking about not affecting other people, too, think about this. I mean, when the second Batman, the next Batman movie came out, wasn't there a big shooting in a theater?
Yeah.
And then it was like based on the Heath Ledger. I mean, if that's true, if it really is true that it had something to do with that character and. You know, guy was trying to kill himself. He said he was possessed by the character. That's true.
No. He wasn't possessed by the character. He was fucking insane.
But he used that as his reason.
He went in there and the movie started. He stands up, goes, "I am the Joker," and goes ape shit on people. It's not like he was crazy, yes, but not in, like, the mental disorder, like, schizophrenia or some shit like that. Like, he was just an asshole and probably had some sort of mental thing going on, but it wasn't thought he was Joker. He didn't really think he was
so
the fucking Joker.
They said that Heath Ledger
did,
too. They said that in the last days of Heath Ledger's life that he had taken on the character role so much that he had... he was acting like the character when he didn't have to. So, I mean, if that's the case, who's to say that didn't have something to do with it? You know, if it did, then
that whole thing is
becoming way more serious.
I don't know. Like, I heard a couple different
things. Right, with Heath Ledger, like, he actually, from what I heard, it was an accidental overdose of sleeping pills.
It wasn't an overdose.
No.
It was quality, not quantity. He took... two medications that didn't mix together. Like, you weren't supposed to take them together. And that's
that is what killed him. But in the interviews with all the people that were close to him and things like that, they said that he had been in, you know, big spurts of drugged up and drunkenness, and that he was taking on the role of the character too seriously.
He was, I heard something to that nature. It was pretty much... he was like, not that he was taking it on more, but it was having more an effect on him, like his role as Joker. I don't think he liked playing that kind of like crazy ass fucker that Joker is, you know, because Joker's crazy. Like,
he took it to a whole new darkness. I mean, he really did,
but that's what they wanted. And that's the whole thing with Joker. Joker is demented. Like, you didn't really get that with the cartoons because, I mean, it's for kids. But, like, this would be the Joker that I would imagine. Like, Jack Nicholson did great as Joker as well. But The movie wasn't as dark at all. Heath Ledger really did, you know, he did take it to a whole new darkness and, you know, things like that, which is what I think really messed with him, because I don't think he was that type of person. Like, he wasn't by nature mean and demented and crazy, but he had to play this mean, demented, crazy person who kills people for sport, you know, trying to, you know, get society itself to be as crazy as him, you know, which was his his whole goal, is to prove that people, anybody could be as corrupted and crazy as he was, you know, but I don't know.
I just,
too much for him.
Yeah, I mean, it can be.
Well, he was sexy as fucking broke man. He was sexy as fucking broke man. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, he was really good.
10 Things I Hate About You was one of my favorites.
I liked the one where he was like Robin Hood. What was it?
Wait, in what?
He was like a Robin Hood kind of character.
First Night.
Yeah, First Night. That was my favorite one.
Yeah.
That was my favorite Ledger.
But that's like, you know, some of those, like, Aaliyah will always have an impact on me forever. I'll always think about the death of Aaliyah. At the time, the age I was.
Right.
You know, it was a big deal. But some of them, it's like, oh, who died? Okay. You know, I mean, so you really could care less.
Right.
You know, like, when my mom called me with that, I was just like, who? You know, I knew the name, but I had no personal connection with any of the characters or even her time. But
yeah. I was surprised. I didn't hear about her.
I liked her. I knew who she was, and I'd seen her work and stuff like that, and I was upset by it, but it was like, oh, that's sad. Like, you know, she'd gone through, she had battles with, I think it was muscular sclerosis.
MS. Yeah, it was MS.
Dystrophy. MS. And, like, she had battles with that, and, you know, it's sad that she died, but it's nice that she's not in pain anymore. She's not in the suffer with it.
She's been going through that for a while.
Right.
That's what I was asking you. Does it make a difference if they're going, like, with Patrick Swayze, everybody knew it was coming, but with John Ritter, it just happened?
It's not as much as a shocker. Like, when it actually happens, it's not as much as a shock, but it still upsets people.
It still takes over the media and the market. It totally saturates everything. Every time.
Right.
It's crazy.
I agree.
When it's something that's been expected,
if it's something that's expected, it's not as shocking. But when it's, you know, you don't know what's going to happen and it's just out of nowhere, then it is quite shocking and it is big and I can understand it. But we only have a minute and 15 seconds left, and I got some stuff I got to say real quick. So. If you're not advertising with Uncensored Radio, you definitely need to. We have tons of packages available at affordable prices. Please email us at uncensoredradio@AOL.com. Also, make sure you are following us, Lips on the Air, on Facebook, facebook.com/lipsontheair. You can also follow us on Twitter at Lips on the Air, and make sure you're following Uncensored Radio on Facebook as well as Twitter as well. I want to say thank you to my fabulous co-host. What?
I said, because that's what makes us cool, is because we follow everybody on Facebook.
Or everywhere.
It does. It will make us cool. And I want to say thank you to my fabulous co-hosts, Jeannie and Jasmine. You two are amazing. Thank you so much for doing the show with me.
We had a blast. It was great.
We hope you all had a great time, and tune in next week. I played the theme music a little too quickly. Make sure you guys tune in next week, Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific time. This is Lips kissing off. Mwah.